With me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Second Thessalonians 2. My wife and I prayed this morning that I'll be able to speak and get through a message. And when I was getting ready, I just was impressed of the Lord to go into my office. I had made some notes, and I went in the office and threw half of them away. So, but I've got a message this morning from 2 Thessalonians 2. It goes right along with the theme of what we were singing today, and even the passages that Brother Vic read, and just goes right along with that. It's a message I titled, When God Sends Delusion. Now, we're living in times of delusion. Whether we are fully aware of it or not, the fact of the matter is that our nation right now is under a flood of deception, of spiritual delusion, in fact, of delusion of all kinds. And I'm going to talk about that in a little more detail in just a few minutes. But the Bible speaks specifically of a time in Earth's history when God himself will send delusion. Now, I believe that that has already begun. I believe we're living right now in the days of divine delusion. That is, in the sense that God, well, let's put it this way. Do you believe there can come a time when God says, that's enough? When men love lies, when men choose lies over truth, and God finally says, you know what? I'll give you what you want. I'll feed you what you want. Remember Israel, they longed for meat in the wilderness, unhappy with the manna, unhappy with that. So they longed for meat, and God said, all right, I'll give you what you want. Amen. And they choked on it, remember. Well, spiritually, the Bible speaks of a time when the hearts of men have so turned away from the truth of God's simple word, the simple word of God, that there will be a time when God will say, you want lies, I'll give you lies. In fact, 2 Thessalonians speaks of that very time, and we'll read beginning in verse 1. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him. There will be a gathering together. The Lord is going to come, and he will gather his people together. We believe that that is an allusion to the rapture of the church, the true bride of Christ. He says that you be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, that the day of Christ is at hand. At hand is the Greek word present. In fact, some versions translate it that it is now present, or Williams translates it that it has come, or it's now here. Some believed that the church had somehow or other automatically been plunged into the day of the Lord's wrath, that it was already upon us, that we were living right now in the tribulation period. That's their concern. That's the concern of the church here in Thessalonica. And Paul had told them in 1 Thessalonians, in fact, Brother Vic read the passage this morning from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 about the catching away, that there will be a catching away, a rapture. The Greek word harpazo, which means to remove, to escape, to take away. He had told them that there would be such a time before the day of the Lord. He said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, he says, you've not been appointed to wrath, not the wrath of hell, nor the wrath of the great tribulation, which in Revelation 6 he specifically calls the great day of God's wrath. He says in Revelation 6 that the great day of his wrath has come, and who will be able to stand? So, the church was not looking to be in the wrath of God. They were looking for the Lord to come and that he would catch them up and remove them from this terrible world. But months passed, first weeks, then months. And, you know, their expectation began to wane and doubts entered in. And then some false teachers came along. And the false teachers said, you can't be looking for the Lord's return, for him to come for you and catch you away in some rapture. In fact, we're already living in the period of the great tribulation. It's already upon us. That's why you're going through these horrible trials and afflictions. He tells them, look, verse 2, I don't want you to be shaken, moved, not in your mind. I don't want you to be troubled. Look, not by spirit, not by word, nor by letter as from us. Don't let anything shake you up or deceive you. Not by spirit, as though maybe somebody got a prophecy that says, look, y'all are already living in the great tribulation. It's not true. Or maybe they got a word. Somebody had a word, or somebody said, Paul said this or whatever. He said, it's not true. Or even if somebody claimed they got a letter from us. Paul said, we wrote no such letter. It's not true. So if somebody says you're living right now in the day of the Lord's wrath, don't believe it. That's his point. Verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Perdition means ruin or destruction. He says the day of the Lord's wrath, the day of judgment, the tribulation period will not begin before two things happen. The falling away, the falling away. Not just a time when many people or some people will decide that this Christian walk is too much for them. There's always been apostasy. The Greek word here, by the way, is apostasia. It's where we get the word apostasy from. It means to turn away, to fall away, to give up on something once held. It speaks of a time when not a small amount of people will give up on the faith, but when there will be a wholesale departure from the faith. In fact, a departure from the faith in such massive numbers that the Bible actually calls it the apostasy. So there have been times throughout church history where people have given up on the faith. When in times of great trial and persecution, people have given up. They said the cost to be a Christian was too much, so people gave up. The times when there's great prosperity in the world and people feel, they're pretty independent, have no real need of God. There's always been periods where people apostatize. They fall away. Times of great trial, times of great blessing, people fall away. But never before has there been a day like what is coming in the end when God says the falling away will be of such massive proportions that the Bible refers to that time as the apostasy. It will be unmistakable because it will be so widespread, because it will be so massive, there will be no mistaking. So he says, Paul says, before the world is plunged into the great tribulation, there will be the apostasy. He goes on and says, and that man of sin, man of perdition, son of perdition, be revealed. We know who that is. It's the Antichrist, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember you not that when I was with you, I told you these things? Paul told them about all this before. This is going to happen. This isn't fantasy. This isn't a fairy tale. These things will come to pass. There will be a literal man of sin, a son of perdition, the beast, the Antichrist, the man whose number is 666. All of this is going to come to pass. He says, verse 6, and you know what withholdeth. Y'all are going to have to bear with me a little bit this morning. And I may speak kind of quietly. I'm going to try. And you know what withholdeth. Something is restraining, holding back, preventing this revelation of the Antichrist, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity does already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Something is obstructing these revelations. We know what that is. It's the Holy Spirit of God preventing all of this at the present time from just bursting forth on the scene. But the time will soon come when the Holy Spirit will end his restraining work on the earth. The Holy Spirit's not going to disappear from off the earth, but he's going to cease his restraining work. He's restraining evil. He's holding back these last end time unveilings or revelations of the Antichrist until the perfect time, the right time, until the world's cup of iniquity is full. And then the Holy Spirit will cease its restraining activity. Now, there's something else that's also restraining the evil from breaking forth in the world, and that's the chief agency through which the Holy Spirit works, and that's the people of God. Because how does the Holy Spirit work in the earth except through the people of God, right? He works through you and me. So that also will be removed, the true bride of Christ, because they are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And as the salt of the earth, you have a restraining influence on the world. You actually restrain evil, whether you know it or not, you do. Your influence restrains evil. The fact that the church is here restrains evil to a large degree. But there's going to come a time when the Holy Spirit and the bride that he works through, the church that he works through, will be taken out of the way. Verse 8, and then shall that wicked be revealed. Now that's the Antichrist, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. I want you to focus with me on verse 11. I think you'll be hard-pressed to find a more sober verse anywhere in the Bible than verse 11. And because it says they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved, for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now, it's like I said, you're going to be hard-pressed to find a passage in the Bible more sobering than verse 11. When God sends delusion, who sends it? When God sends delusion, it's hard for us perhaps to imagine that God would do that. But when men's appetites have so turned away from truth and have no hunger, no desire, no love, that's what he says, they receive not the love of the truth. Now, I wonder how much love there is for the truth, even in our own generation and in our own country. The fact of the matter is, the truth has fallen on very hard times. We're talking about the truth, the Word of God. It, even in our Bible schools and seminaries, where the truth is supposed to be proclaimed to the next generation of church leaders, the truth is held in unbelief. Multitudes of our so-called scholars that teach in our Bible universities don't even believe in an infallible Bible. They don't believe that this is the Word of God. It may contain the Word of God. There may be some flashes of inspiration in it. But if we knew, if we really grasped the staggering unbelief in the seminaries, not only of our nation, but in Europe as well, where liberalism and unbelief and humanism and evolution and every other kind of foolish man-made doctrine is held, we might be shocked. He says, they receive not the love of the truth. They don't believe in the divinity of Christ. They don't believe in a virgin birth. They don't believe that the Bible is the inspired Word of God, that it's infallible. They don't believe in a substitutionary blood atonement. They don't believe that we're saved by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, this is the world we're living in. These things that the Lord said would characterize the last days, that they don't love the truth, and because of it, God will send them a strong delusion that they would believe a lie. It seems like the lies are sweeping over us like tsunamis and just washing away faith in its path. I think if you took a look, an honest assessment of the state of Christianity, not just in America, but in the world. Now, let's consider that the United States and Europe have been pretty much the bastions, the fortresses of Christian faith, the Judeo-Christian heritage, and they're in bad shape. Right now, Islam way, way outnumbers Christianity in Europe. Christianity in America has fallen on much harder times than most of us realize. When you consider, well, you might think, well, look how big the church is, though. Overall, how big is Christianity? Well, right off the bat, you can write half of it. About half of it is Roman Catholic. And then, besides the Roman Catholic, you've got all the other so-called Orthodox groups that are dead in their ritual and tradition. And if that seems unkind, let's just tell the truth. They are dead in their rituals and traditions. In fact, they departed from the Bible standard centuries ago. The Bible was pretty much discarded, and tradition, human tradition, took its place, and they've become just palaces of elaborate ritual and rite. where you come watch an observance and nobody gets anything out of it. Because really the whole observance that they watch is not even biblical. It's not even scriptural. Some sacrifice of a mass that has no basis in scripture. In fact, the whole idea is blasphemous, really and truly. It's blasphemous. So you have that. Then you have what's left is a so-called Protestant church world that's riddled with unbelief. The denominational structures, for the most part, are dead and dying. You know, all the old mainline denominations are dying. They are. They're all dying. And even when they unite to try and survive, well, it's because they departed from the Bible long ago. They no longer preach from the scriptures. They've just adopted their own philosophies and traditions and humanism. And they're dead. They're empty and dead. Then you've got some of these denominations now ordaining homosexual clergy, which is a growing trend. So, I mean, can we acknowledge the fact that full-blown apostasy is at work here? Amen. This is full-blown apostasy, nothing less. Vast multitudes of the charismatics, the charismatic world, and we consider ourselves a Pentecostal, charismatic, full gospel people, but an honest assessment of our so-called movement leads us to declare that there isn't much as an ounce of discernment among them, because they will flock in mass to the ear ticklers, professional ear ticklers. They're very good at it. They're highly skilled ear ticklers, and the masses flock to them, and they clamor for smooth things, and Isaiah 30, verse 10, prophesied to us deceits. Give us smooth things. We don't want to hear the right things. We want to hear smooth things. And so they get it. They get the smooth things. In the meantime, I want you to consider this. Consider what has happened to us as a public just in the past few years. I want you to consider where we've gone. Not long ago, witchcraft was considered something evil. People were warned about it. It was black magic. It was occult. It was demonic. It was of the devil. And people stayed away from it. But in just the past few years, I know that they've always, the last 30 or 40 years, there's been I Dream of Jeannie and Bewitched and all of that. That was mild, but it began to sow some seeds into the minds of the public that magic isn't so bad. I mean, that there are really nice, beautiful people who practice magic. And it's not this evil thing that your Bible portrays it to be. But that was mild fare in preparation for the things that would come along. Finally, just a few years ago, Harry Potter burst upon the scene. And I know people say, oh, Harry Potter, best thing we've ever seen, blah, blah, blah. Right now, the Harry Potter movies, it became a franchise, Rowling became the richest woman in all of England. She's her net worth is over $1 billion. But Harry Potter did more for witchcraft than Satan himself could have done to promote it. Harry Potter, by one book after another, one movie after another, has systematically destroyed any reservations the public has had towards witchcraft, occultism, wizardry, and magic. You will be hard-pressed to find a single child who believes that magic is evil. There are, this is the, look, this has been a plot of the devil without a question to undermine biblical foundations and any resistance that people might have to such things as witchcraft. You know the Bible hates this. You know the Bible declares that witchcraft is wicked, that it's evil, that it's it taps into a spiritual source other than God, a demonic source. You are aware of that. However, the Harry Potter franchise, by one book, you know, a lot of resistance, a lot of people reservations. Then people read it, oh, it's not so bad, you know, these are good people. Another book, a new movie, another one, another one, another. Now, the next one in the series, you know, on the way, and the public eats it up. And what has happened to America's Christian foundation, Judeo-Christian foundation, in believing that such things were actually evil? It's gone. It's completely erased. The children don't think there's anything wrong with it. They don't think anything's wrong with it at all. And while you might think, well, that's not such a big deal, it has far more spiritual implications than you realize. Because now you've got an entire generation that is open and ready for these spiritual influences, the demonic influences. They're more open to that than they are to the Bible. Because you see, the Bible teaches that those things are wrong. And they've come to realize that that Bible can't be true. There can't be anything wrong with Harry Potter. Or any of the rest of the magic stuff. But I would imagine if you took a poll, you couldn't hardly find a child who thought something was wrong with all of this. Amen. We've become so numb to spiritual truth, I'll tell you. Whereas once, just a few years ago, the idea of hell would cause people to shudder. Now it's commonplace for American Christians. They let their kids out there celebrate Halloween. They're going to dress them up like the devil. They're going to dress them up like a witch. They think it's harmless. They think it's harmless. And hell, what is hell, a joke? Hell's a joke now? We have an educational system that has set its sights on destroying the Bible and Christian credibility and belief in creationism. We've mentioned all of this before, but colleges in particular have decided that it is their job, their personal job, to destroy faith in a creator God. Because if you don't have a creator, well, then you don't answer to anybody. So this has put faith under attack. Your young people go off to college, and I'll tell you what, more people lose their faith going to college from the university professors than probably anywhere else. So here you have this attack against faith, again, eroding a generation's faith in God, faith in the Bible. Here lately we've had a barrage of books by all of these so-called neo-atheists who mock Christianity and mock the Bible and who take great pleasure in ridiculing Christianity and making it look ridiculous. Or you could just point out some of the other things, like the Dan Brown novels. Now, you might think, well, you know, this is the Da Vinci Code guy, the Da Vinci Code franchise. You might think that this, you know, this is lightweight novels, it's not that big a deal. The fact is, it's another barrage against Christianity. Because the whole idea is Christianity is wrong. You know, he has already established in some of his previous novels, and look, this is what America's reading. I point this out because this is what's on the New York Times bestseller list. This is what America reads. And not only America, but Europe as well. This is what we read. Stuff that damages and undermines our Christian foundations. Because the whole tone is Christianity is wrong. Christians are deceived. The church is in great error. And all while they, point mostly at Roman Catholicism, the fact remains that, one of his other books is The Great Revelation is that the truth is goddess worship or some such nonsense. His newest book, The Hidden Symbol or The Lost Symbol or whatever it's called, again, does everything it can to undermine Christianity, glorifies the Masonic Lodge and all of its dark, mysterious secrets, and it reveals the truth that Christianity has tried to hide from you all along. And the truth is that Christianity's tried to hide from you is that men can become gods. That's the oldest lie in existence. And that's supposed to be some great revelation. That's the oldest lie there is. Isn't that what the devil told Adam and Eve? Amen. Eat this. The idea, again, it's all part of a systematic battering of Christian foundations, Christian belief. You know, doesn't the Bible say something? Didn't we read something about they'll be turned away from truth and turned into fables? Yeah. The latest thing is The Shack. Y'all have heard about that William Young's book titled The Shack. Y'all, anybody heard of that book? Well, in this book, a fella decides he's going to, it's a fiction book, he's going to describe the Trinity of God in a way that everybody can understand it and relate to and be comfortable with. Because people have these ideas of God as being some great, invisible, mysterious God. So he's going to make God very human-like. So he portrays God the Father as an obese black woman who speaks Ebonics. Jesus is depicted as a klutz. The Holy Spirit is depicted as an Asian woman. Michael Youssef, if you've ever heard of his ministry, he wrote down 13 specific heresies that are laid out in this book, The Shack. And it's been on the New York Times bestseller list now for over a year. People are just eating it up. Even churches are passing it out. I've heard of pastors giving it out and saying, man, this is just the greatest thing since sliced bread. Take this, read it. It's just going to make you so comfortable with the idea of God. But that's because it presents a false God who forgives all of humanity, whether they repent of their sins or not. It says God will never judge people for their sins. God will never judge anybody. That there's no such thing as hell, no such thing as eternal punishment. Everybody goes to heaven. Everybody. Doesn't matter who you are, what religion you are, doesn't matter. Everybody's going to go to heaven. The Bible is not true. I mean, these are the things portrayed in The Shack. And yet, the Christian public is eating this thing up too. It's not just the general public, it's the Christian public eating this up. Thinking that it's just the greatest thing they've ever read. Oh, one person said, I just feel so comfortable now with God. You see, when you don't believe the truth, God says he'll turn you over to a lie. And they are embracing the lies. They are embracing the lies. But this is what people want. In 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 11, the Bible says, for this cause God will send them strong delusion. that they should believe a lie. The time will come when God will send the delusion. You don't want the truth? Then believe the lie. Take it and believe it. Run with it. I believe it's happening right before our eyes. Now, what do you think when God sends delusion? When God sends delusion, all of this stuff we're talking about here is preparing the way for the greatest move away from Christianity that the world has ever seen. There will be a massive revolt. You know the idea of the falling away? The apostasy, you know, it really means to revolt. It means to revolt from the faith. The stage is set. The time is ripe. There will come the greatest exodus from Christian faith in human history. When people will denounce Christianity and denounce Christ and denounce the Bible, and denounce the God of the Bible. And all of the things that you see that can weaken faith or weaken conviction in the Bible, even these pretty boy preachers on the television that preach only happy messages, no sin, no repentance, they dare not touch those subjects because their emphasis is positiveness, just all of that is part of this last day apostasy. I know some of you watch the Pretty Boys, and you think that these guys are doing God's service. They are doing a disservice because they are not proclaiming the gospel of Christ. They are not proclaiming the gospel of Christ, which includes the message that men are sinners and they need a Savior. Jesus didn't die on a cross to make us happy and prosperous. He died on a cross to save us from our sins because our sins are dragging us to hell. All of this is part of the end time apostasy. It's all a part of it. It all sets the stage in preparation for the time when, you know, the cup of iniquity is full. Imagine it as a gigantic dam about to burst. God is going to remove the restraints the Holy Spirit has held on this earth. I believe there's coming a day very, very soon when God's going to remove his church. There's going to be this catching away, our gathering together unto him as he speaks of. And this world is going to be plunged into a tribulation period unlike anything the world has ever seen or unlike anything anyone can imagine. Apostasy is at the door. Remember, none of this can happen until the apostasy. He says the apostasy first. And where are we right now? Do you know how many people tell me, Brother Rusty, I can't find a church that preaches the Bible? You know how many people tell us that? We hear it all the time. I can't find a church that just preaches the Bible. When God sends delusion, I want to tell you three things about this. When God sends delusion, you know, number one, it is going to be incredibly powerful delusion. Amen. You want delusion? You want lies? You want deception? God says, I'll give you deception. That's what you want, I'll give it to you. In fact, he calls it, verse 11, God will send them strong delusion. Strong. The Greek word there is energy, where we get the word energy from. It means active, powerful, working, effective. You want delusion? You want lies? He'll send you lies so persuasive, so convincing. Say, Brother Rusty, I thought God was in the business of the truth, of proclaiming truth, of dispersing the truth. And Jesus is the way and the truth. He is in the business of dispensing truth. But he also says, when you don't love the truth, you don't want the truth, I'll give you what you want. And let's tell it like it is. Even in the Christian world today, how much hunger is there, really and truly, for the truth? Let's hear it for good, sound biblical theology. Who wants that? I mean, who wants? But what do people want? What do they want? They want their ears tickled. That's what they want. And so there's no shortage of professional ear ticklers out there. When God sends delusion, it's going to be strong delusion. Second, notice who's on the receiving end of this strong delusion. Verse 10, he said it's those who receive not the love of the truth. They receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Verse 12, that they might all be damned who believed not the truth. They don't like the truth. They don't like it. The truth is not convenient. But they had pleasure in unrighteousness. Wait, they don't love the truth, but let's say what they do love. They love the world. They love the world and its unrighteousness. They love the world and its sins. No love for the truth, but plenty love for the world. And so God will give them what they want. He'll give them what they love. You know, he's done this before. There's a passage, you don't have to turn there, but in 1 Kings chapter 22, God was going to send Ahab to his destruction. King Ahab, wicked King Ahab. Remember, this lying spirit comes forth and says, I'll go and deceive him. I'll go be a lying spirit in the mouth of all of his prophets, so that he'll go down to Ramoth Gilead and fall and die in battle. God's design was, I'm going to destroy King Ahab because of his wickedness. His cup of iniquity came to the full. It was time for him to pay. So this spirit says, I'll go be a lying spirit in the mouth of all of his prophets. And God said, you know what? You go and you will prosper. You will succeed in deceiving them all. When God sends delusion, when he sends deception, people follow it. People swallow it. He only gives them what they want, and that's what they want after all, right? And finally, when God sends delusion, it's going to sweep this world in an almost irresistible wave. A flood like a tsunami that will wash the multitudes along with it. It speaks of here strong delusion. Strong delusion. In fact, I want to read another passage. Listen to this. He says, the wicked one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the spirit of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. So when this last day delusion begins, it's going to be accompanied with lying wonders and lying signs, false miracles. You know, that's going to be hard to resist. False miracles. Somebody preaches a lie, preaches a blasphemous message, but suppose people get healed when they preach it. I mean, not just somebody healed of a tummy ache, but I mean, here's a cripple who walks. Here's a blind man who sees. There are going to be lying signs and wonders, undeniable miracles. In fact, Revelation says, the Antichrist and the false prophet, they're going to call fire down from heaven. I mean, we're talking about signs and wonders of biblical days. You know, it's going to be Jannes and Jambres defying Moses in the courts of Pharaoh, making their serpents and doing their magic and so forth. Hello? Yes. We're talking about deception. If you are impressed with feelings and signs and wonders, if that's going to really grab you and convince you, you're in a world of trouble. If your faith is really not 100% in what the Bible says, it doesn't matter what your feelings are, it doesn't matter what the signs and wonders. What if somebody preaches a blasphemous message about Christ, says we're all gods after all, and then confirms his message by praying for sick people who get well right in front of your eyes? And what if there is such a spirit there, such an anointing, that there are goosebumps all over you and you can't help but feel that you are in the presence of God? What if that kind of feeling just sweeps over you? You can't go by your feelings. You can't go by your feelings. You don't base what is true on what you see. You base what is true on what this Bible says. The Bible is our standard. And those who move from the Bible standard are going to be swept away in this end times, and they will not stand. They will not stand in these end times. They will fall. We're talking about deception of unprecedented measure. I'm going to keep my finger right here, but I want to read one more passage, and this one in Amos chapter 8. I know this is a familiar passage to many of you, but I want to read it. I want you to listen to me very carefully. In Amos chapter 8, beginning in verse 11, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it." Now, I want to read verse 11 again. "Behold, the days come, says the Lord God, that I will send a famine." Who's going to send it? God says, I'm going to do this. I'm going to send a famine, not a famine of bread or water, but a famine of hearing the words of the Lord. A famine of hearing the truth. Hello. Who's going to send it? Now, didn't he say in 2 Thessalonians he's going to send strong delusion? Those who want a lie, I'll give them a lie. Here in this particular passage, Israel had continually rejected the word of the Lord, continually. Turned away, turned a deaf ear to God's word, did not want to hear the word of the Lord. They cried out, Isaiah 30:10, "Prophesy unto us smooth things, give us deceits. We don't want this. We don't want this kind of preaching." And so God says, there's coming a day when I'm going to turn them all over to the deceits. And as far as the word of the Lord, it'll be a rare thing. It'll be a very rare thing. What God says here, there will be a famine of hearing the word of the Lord. He says again in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. There's no shortage of deception, that's for sure. But when it comes to hearing the word of the Lord, well, that's growing harder and harder to find. The good thing is that even in the days when true faith was almost extinguished from Israel, God told His prophet, "I still have 7,000. So God has people. He's got people who love Him. He's got people who love His Word. And they're scattered all over this world. They love the Lord. They love the truth. It's very, very important that we be found among those who are grounded in the truth, that we are men and women who are ready to defend the truth, who will cling to the truth, who will proclaim the truth, and who will not be satisfied with anything other than the truth. Let nothing else satisfy you. Never, ever, ever let anything else satisfy you. Don't allow yourself to be drawn aside. These are the days. These are the days that the Bible speaks of delusion, deception. Jesus said, Matthew 24:24. I want to just close with this passage. Matthew 24:24. There shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. We're talking about deception so powerful that if possible, it would deceive the elect. But the elect won't be deceived. They won't. Because they're going to stay with the word of the Lord. Amen. That's your job. To make sure that what you follow and what you swallow is the word of the Lord and nothing less. Amen. Nothing less. Nothing else. The word of the Lord. We're not going to be enamored by men's personalities. We are not going to be followers of superstars. We're going to be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are not going to be followers of signs and wonders. The signs and wonders are supposed to follow us. We're not going to just run out and say, well, this guy, man, this is happening over here. This guy is praying for people. We have to be very, very careful in this hour, because there's going to begin to be outbreaks of so-called miracle ministries. You better make sure that this is God before you buy into it, swallow it, follow it. It doesn't matter what kind of feelings. Ooh, I just felt the presence. Doesn't matter what you feel. Doesn't matter what you feel. We don't walk by feelings. We walk by faith. Your feelings will lie to you. Your feelings will lie to you. In fact, I want to tell you, the devil can play your feelings like Liberace could play a piano. The devil can play your feelings. So you must stay with what says the Scriptures. That's it. That's what we stay with. What says the Scriptures. And we'll be safe. We'll be safe, and God will use us. He will use you as a bearer of His standard, His holy standard. Yeah. You preach the word, believe the word, live the word. Yeah. By the grace of God, amen, we shall all do so. Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Praise God. Hallelujah. Can we stand?